Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether it's your first time visiting with us or you've been here your whole life, we're glad that you've decided to come and worship God with us on this Sunday morning. Today, Melissa is preaching over at Laurelton Presbyterian, and I am here with you. And so she will be back afterwards, so if you have a meeting with Melissa after church, don't panic. She's coming. I have plenty of announcements to get us started today. Who's up first?
Three Musketeers.
Good morning. I'm Linda Beattie, and this is
Jan Buettner, Shirts,
and Tess McKeel.
And we are in charge of the Church Mouse Bazaar this year. And I would like to call your attention to the flyer that is in the bulletin, and there's also been one in the Harbinger.
Thank you.
Somebody read it.
But we'd really like to thank the people that have volunteered to be the coordinators for these different groups. Jason Taylor, Bill DeSaro, Marty Oman, Heather Pym, Betty Blystone, Linda Allen, Beth Molina, J.C. Ruchon, and Carol Howell. They have been coordinating this for a number of years, and we really appreciate it. The Church Mouse Bazaar is our annual arts and crafts show. It's November 19th from 9 to 3:30. It's a Saturday, and we have a wonderful group of crafters. Everything is handmade. They fill the church, and we have also so many volunteers that help to make this happen. So please look at this. If you possibly can, we'd like to have you sign up to help. You can put the sheet in the offering, or you can give it to one of us, or take it to the office. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks. And Donna Schott wanted me to tell you that she needs volunteers to serve communion.
Good morning. Yesterday, Gates Presbyterian served a lunchtime meal at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality. This time around, the sign-up sheet filled up completely. The sign-up sheet for preparing the meals filled up completely, and the sign-up sheet for working on Saturday filled up completely, which is pretty amazing since we've been doing this for over 30 years. But we still keep coming through, which is a great thing. So thank you to all who volunteered and volunteered food, made donations. And yesterday I had the opportunity to see something that I've never seen at St. Joseph's before. They ate every piece of macaroni that we cooked. Six steam pans full of goulash were consumed by about 80 people. So that's the first time we cleaned it. I didn't get any kisses for kissing the cook for cleaning the pans, but that's okay. So thanks to all that made it happen.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Wakeman, and I'm the Spiritual Gifts Coordinator right now, and I'm up here on behalf of the Nominating Committee, first of all, to thank the seven of you who stepped up to be deacons this coming year. But the nominating committee is also actively seeking you for Good News Coordinator Elder, Worship Core Value Elder, Spiritual Growth Core Value Elder, Hospitality Elder, and Finance Elder. So there's five elder positions, and we need you to share your talents. There's also two trustee positions that are going to be needing to be filled. And remember, the terms are only 2 years now, my friends, 2 years. And we don't begin till January 1st, so after the holidays are over. Right now you're feeling busy, but after that you're going to be going, I need something to do. Please prayerfully consider sharing your God-given gifts to help our wonderful church family move forward in serving God and our community. You can nominate yourself or somebody else for one of the positions. If you want to know more, there's going to be a big article in the Harbinger, but you can also call Melissa myself, Kathy Wakeman, or any member of the nominating committee, would you guys raise your hands? Whit Beckett is there in the choir. Nancy Hasselhoff, are you here today? Oh, and Ginny Barley's here, and Larry's homesick with a stomach bug, but he wouldn't mind if you called him either. Thanks.
I'm Gordon Chapman. I want to just talk to the men for a moment. I see next Sunday morning in the life of the church, there's a breakfast at 8 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet on the kiosk. I'd love to have you sign up. Come and have a hearty breakfast.
Youth group announcements are simple today because junior and senior highs are going to the Haunted Hayride together. So meet here at 6 o'clock, dress very warmly, bring $12 and more if you want any snacks, the fried dough is delicious, and parents, pick your kids back up here at 8:30 instead of 8. It takes us a little longer to get back. And let us all worship God together. Please stand and join me for the call to worship. Living God, you are the source of our security. Living God, you are the source of our strength. Living God, you are the source of our faith. Living God, you are the source of all our time. With us now, your love lasts through all eternity.
Join me in the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin. Merciful God, sometimes we take ourselves so seriously, our opinions, our emotions, our needs, our entitlements, that we fail to notice our effect on others. We do not make connections between our limitless wants and the resources that are left for others. We do this without knowing it. Bring our awareness to your goal of justice for all. Place in our hearts a vision of the common good and the certainty of your universality of blessings. Remind us that you love all your children. Let's take a moment or two for our silent confessions to God. The God of salvation, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth, offers forgiveness to each of us through the Redeemer sent in human form. We are grateful that over and over we are given the chance to begin again, that nothing we have done can separate us from God's love. Amen.
Join me up front. I have a question for you guys. Who likes cookies? Yeah? You don't like cookies? No? All right, I'm taking your cookies then, just to be clear. Who knows how to make cookies? Oh, all right, we got some bakers here. Who has ever made cookies? You guys have made some? Yeah. What kind? You help. That'll count. That's awesome. Chocolate chip. Yeah, what kind? What kind have you made? Christmas cookies? Oh, okay. See, how do you make cookies? What do you have to do? Cookie dough. Okay, that would be easier if we start with cookie dough. Well, what else do we need? Mix it all together. Yep. Do you guys need directions? Yes. Okay, you can't just make cookies off the top of your head. Me neither. Ooh, Rachel can? Ooh. All right, that's good to know. I'm definitely talking to her later. Yeah? So here, I have my favorite cookie-making book. It says they're Christmas cookies. You can eat them all year round. And so I need this book to have instructions. Otherwise, I can't make any of these delicious cookies. And I got to tell you, these candy cane ones are pretty good. But you know what I have to do if I lost this book? Find a new one? Yep, that's it. I would be out of luck. I make these every single Christmas, and I wouldn't remember. I need the book to help me. So the Bible is another book that gives us good instructions. When we want cookies, we go to a cookbook. What instructions does the Bible teach us? What does it teach us how to do? What do you think? How to follow God? Yeah, totally. Sometimes it teaches you how to be a good person, maybe a good brother, sometimes. Yeah, definitely. And it teaches us how to be good to each other and help each other out. So those are some good instructions to have. You guys ready to pray with me? All right, repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for the Bible and instructions on how to be good people and love you. Amen. All right, time for Sunday school.
First reading from our book of instructions today is from Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the letter of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14, to chapter 4, verses 5. Listen now for God's word to us. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and carry out your ministry fully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take a second and do something for me, and this might feel a little strange. Take a deep breath in and out. Just like that. Notice how you're breathing in and out right now and all the time. Pay attention to how we're always breathing, even when you don't think about it. It feels really weird to actually pay attention to it, right? Normally, we don't have to remember that we're breathing or really notice it at all, unless you're into yoga or meditation. I've taken a couple yoga classes at the Y, and the instructor will say at some point in the session, make sure to breathe, as if I'm not already panting pretty loudly, trying not to fall over. I think what she means is, breathe with intention. Be aware of your breath. Make sure you don't hyperventilate and fall over, which is good advice for yoga and pretty much every other time in your life. But usually, unless something is wrong, you never pay attention to your breathing. We're all doing it right now, in and out, as regularly as a heartbeat. Breathing is just part of living. It's one of those things that's absolutely necessary. We never think about until something goes wrong. Allergy season is here, and somehow breathing through your nose is starting to feel like a miracle instead of just a normal thing. We take breathing for granted so much, and yet without it, we'd fall apart. Today's scripture passage is for those of us who are a little closer to falling apart than we'd like. The author is writing to Timothy, a devoted Christian who could use some solid encouragement and advice. He's had faith in God his entire life, and yet things aren't quite working out for him. But Timothy isn't alone in his faith. He has Paul and Paul's other followers to help him remember what's important. They write Timothy this letter to say, hey, remember to breathe here. Calm down. Remember your faith. The same faith that is celebrated in the scriptures. Timothy was one of Paul's most beloved pupils. When Paul traveled to spread the gospel, Timothy kept preaching to people back home. And so when Timothy's work falters, Paul sends a letter to remind him to rekindle his faith. Timothy has grown up with examples of devoted believers all around him, people that welcomed him, made sure he felt comfortable and loved everywhere. Isn't that what church is all about? Knowing that you have a space to belong, no matter what. So like many of us, Timothy has grown up knowing that he belongs with his faith community. He's been going to worship, reading scriptures and praying, going through all the right steps, but he hasn't quite been paying attention, maybe. And it's easy to get distracted, to forget for the listen for God's still, small voice in the world. Thankfully, Timothy isn't in this alone. He has his church community there to support him. He has letters from Paul, and as Paul reminds him, he is the help of the scriptures. Paul tells Timothy that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful. The word for inspired in Greek doesn't quite mean the same thing as when we say it in English, though. A more accurate, but admittedly pretty ridiculous-sounding translation would be more like, all scripture has God's breath on it. Scriptures of our Bible have been written by humans, but God breathed life into them. Through the Spirit's inspiration, these words have become something stronger and more beautiful than their original authors could have expected. Paul did not know he was writing the Bible. Now these same words fill our every breath with love and hope. The story of God's love sticks with us, like stories in the movies. Have any of you seen The Princess Bride? I know youth group is sick of it. I used to watch it over and over again in high school with my girlfriend. And in the movie, the dashing hero Wesley does favor after favor for Princess Buttercup. No matter what she tells him to do, he does it and replies, "As you wish." It takes a bit before Buttercup realizes. Whenever he says, "As you wish," what he really means is, "I love you." We don't always recognize each part of the Bible as God's divine breath. There are books full of arcane laws, census numbers for countries that are long gone, and lists of countries that we can't really pronounce that well, much less find on a map. But no matter what stories the scriptures have, God breathes the same message into them, generation through generation. I love you. I created humankind in my image, says God in the book of Genesis, and so I love you as my own children. Do not kill, the scriptures tell us in Exodus, because I love you too much to want you to be hurt. I have sent my only begotten Son, because I love the entire world so much that I am always there for you. Page after page, the scriptures remind us of God's constant love, from the beginning of creation until the end. Paul's little letter to Timothy is just one reminder that God's love has been breathed into every part of our lives. It's a reminder we can all use sometimes. Paul reminds Timothy that all scripture can teach and train him to be a better Christian. Today, that's still true for us, but our library of Bible books is quite a bit bigger. Timothy lived at a time when the scriptures were the Old Testament. Some of the Gospels hadn't been written. Obviously, the letters to Timothy weren't considered sacred yet. We have a lot more to draw from now. But Paul was not writing to Timothy to boast how good his own letters were. I swear he was at least a little bit more humble than that. But the writings fit into the shape of the scriptures that were already written, already lighting up the lives of those who followed God. Paul had God's word breathing life into him. He worked to love God and share the gospel everywhere he went. And that constant love breathed God's word into everything Paul did, so that his words became inspiration for people like us thousands of years later. Even in hard times, the words of the Bible are there to help us feel God's love. Just like the air we breathe, God's inspiration gives us life and the strength to go on. We show this every time we share the 23rd Psalm. There is nothing quite like the moment that happens at so many funeral services when relatives and friends listen to those familiar words, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Those words breathe comfort into our lives, even when we grieve. God's scriptures are our touchstone, our anchor, a place for us to gain strength and comfort as we are inspired to become better Christians. And thankfully, we can always share those scriptures together. When I wanted us to be mindful of our breathing, we took a deep breath together. We want to be mindful of God's presence in our lives. We come together to worship, to share God's scriptures, and to pray. Together here at GPC, as regular as clockwork, as simple as breathing, to remind each other that we are not alone. Day in and day out, God created us to do amazing things. Christ lived and died to show us how to love others. The Spirit inspires us to care for each other just as strongly as God loves us. We are mindful of God's place in our life. When we pay attention to how very loved we are, then we have a living, breathing faith. And a faith that strong, that alive, could inspire us to do amazing things together. Of course, we aren't in this alone. Paul wrote to Timothy to remind him that even in his moments of doubt, he had a community right there to support him. We use scriptures and worship to celebrate God's teachings, and in Sunday school to learn how to live. And even the Bibles we read can remind us that we have support in our journey of faith, and they show the marks of the people who read before us. I should confess something to you all. This Bible, our official, beautiful church Bible, there is a rip starting on one of the pages. At least one of the pages. It's in John 1. I notice it every Christmas. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We read those words every year to remind us of God's place in our light and our lives. So, after reading it year after year, the pages are starting to be used. I think that's a good sign. A Bible is one of the very few things you can respect and still mess up a little bit. Growing up, Bibles were the only books I was allowed to write in, so I did. My mother showed me her grandmother's Bible with a family tree written right in the front page, told me stories of the family I'd never even gotten to meet. I left bookmarks and pictures pressed all through my kid's Bible. I spilled coffee on my Bible more than once. Early seminary classes are no joke. I've scuffed its corners and bent back its spine to keep a page open while I'm reading. It's a bit of a mess. And I've seen plenty of other Bibles held together with duct tape and prayer after many years of use. That's because I treat my Bible like a tool, just as much as a treasure. It's used day after day to remind me of God's love. Our Bibles start to become real, worn like a child's favorite stuffed animal or the blanket their grandmother made for them. Their support and security, no matter how old you get. And every detail that marks my Bible is different, reminds me of the many times I've turned to it for help. It makes the message more real, part of my everyday life, as regular as breathing. Let us give thanks for the scriptures which remind us that our own journey of faith is never alone. God's word guides us. The stories remind us that God loves us in so many different ways. God will breathe life into the time when we come together and worship. Remember so completely the story of God's love, story after story, to remind us that we always have God's guidance and support on our path. And let us remind each other with every breath we take that God's love is present for us all. Amen.
Thank you.
now comes the time that we get to share the joys in our lives that we want to give thanks for. And also lift up the people and the places that we're in need of prayers and support. Who has something they'd like to share today?
Peter Derry, just absolutely delighted to say that Aaron and I joined that wonderful club of 50 years of being married. Thanks for choosing me.
Hi, I'm Marie Wilson. I'd like to lift up Janet Ellis, Katie's mother, Katie Sapansky's mother, and their whole family are so sad. She's doing really bad, and she's struggling and strong with heart disease. Thank you.
Cherie Barrett, I feel bad that I have to ask for these prayers again, but not as bad as my coworker, Kate Sinisu Gramlich. Her daughter Avery, I'm sure some of you have heard about her, the little girl, wear orange for Avery. She is relapsed for the fourth time, and she's only 8 years old, and she's heading back to CHOP for more treatment, a trial of T cells, and prayers for her and her family that this is the end of this cancer.
I want to thank all of you for the prayers that you gave me recently. I need a prayer now to remind me not to bend over. It's not funny. I really need it because I'm not in that much pain and I go to do something and I forget. And I've dislocated it a second time, so I really need to a bop in the head. Thank you.
We'll do our best. We have prayers to share from the Sunday school classes as well. Joys for birthdays, getting to go to Zubu, new cars, and new baby cousins. Getting to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, and getting to visit grandma and grandpa, having grandparents come visit. With these joys in our hearts, let us pray together. Almighty God, we put our trust in you, for you have provided every good thing for your people. We are confident, despite our own brokenness and the brokenness of this world, because we know that you are redeeming all things and bringing your reign into the world through us. We take delight in you because you have answered our prayers. We praise you for new beginnings, for restored health and new life, and for your steadfast love every day. We give thanks for the joys of spending time with our families, enjoying the beauty of your creation. We commit our life to you, and we trust you to complete what you have begun in our lives already. May our church be righteous and holy in Jesus' name, and let our shared life bear witness to the light of your love. O Lord, we come before you, and we wait patiently for your work. We lift up those who suffer most from violence, especially those in our own community, most of all those whose suffering benefits us. We remember with regret those who are enemies and who we have hurt. We declare our hope to reconcile with them. We pray for your people in every kind of need, especially those who are recovering from floods, hurricanes, and other devastating weather. We give thanks for our loved ones and lift up those who are ill and recovering. God, give them patience and strength and the comfort they need as they undergo treatment. We await the fullness of your reign, O God, and we choose to participate in your light and your path. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We know all that we have is a gift from God. And so we say thanks and give back a portion of what God has granted us so freely. Let us now collect our offerings.
Creator God, accept these gifts as we bring them to you today. Help us to use them wisely, and help us to continue to give the gifts we were born with from you. Amen.
Thank you.
Now go into the world in peace. Love God and serve your neighbor. And know with every breath you take that God loves you, sure and strong. May the blessing of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.